it'll be exciting to see what God does there. Take your Bibles and go to the book of Romans. Let me just get situated here. Romans chapter 8. And then let me pray and we'll get going. Father, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for loving us. Thank you, Father, for this church, the history, the heritage they have. Lord, just everything you've done. Lord, it's just a man. Remember last time we watched a video about how even this building got put together. Lord, thank you for what they're doing here locally, what they're able to do around the world. And Lord, how you're working in families here. Lord, thank you, Father, for that. Thank you for a pastor that loves his people. I pray today that you'd help him feel better. Lord, I just pray you'd help us as well. I can't really help anybody. I'm in need just like they are, but we need you. And Father, I pray that we'd leave here excited about what you can do in us. Lord, you would help us to understand that we don't have to be a victim. Jesus, thank you so much for loving us. Thank you for being very kind, forgiving and loving in our lives. Lord, I pray that you would help us this morning. Jesus, thank you. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. If you look with me in Romans chapter 8, look here in verse 32, speaking of God, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He's saying, listen, if God gave us his son, he's not going to hold the things that are good away from you. You know, look at verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. You've got enemies. You've got pushback in this world. It's not God that's condemning you. It's not God that's against you. He's not that force, although the time he gets blamed for those things because they don't understand who God is. So he wanted you to understand who he is because he let you know, hey, I'm the one who gave my son. I've got more in this than you have in this. Okay? I'm on your side. And I'm not leaving your side. I'm not the one condemning you, okay? It says this, who is he that condemneth? Question mark. It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Isn't that awesome to know that whatever you go through today, whatever you go through tomorrow, that Jesus Christ is in heaven, he's our go-between between us and the Father. That's just a very comforting thing. Now look at this in verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress? It's kind of funny when it says who, you're thinking maybe he'll name people. People are the avenue that these things are delivered in our lives. That's why he used the word who. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? How many of you ever been through a tribulation? All right. Shall tribulation or distress? Anybody in here been distressed? Okay, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword. He's saying, any of these things, can you ever be in a place or a time or a moment in your life that isolates you from the love of God, the power of God, where that can no longer come to your aid? Is there a spot like that in your life that he cannot get to you? Do you understand that God knows that we're under a curse? He's the one that put it on us. He did not do that because he wanted to. Man did that to himself when he disobeyed God, violated God's laws, which enacted a curse that God did not do, we did to ourselves. He knows that we're under a curse. He knows that things aren't working the way they should work. He understands that because of that, there's sickness and there's sin and there's elements that he never created a human being to have to deal with. Now we are dealing with that. You ever drive an old truck, you know, and it's a stick shift and it's got a clutch in it, and an old timer will say, hey, you got to double clutch it, you know? You could drive that car for years, but in order to drive that car, you need to learn how to double clutch. May I tell you something? It's broken. And we're double clutching until Jesus comes. Amen. But may I tell you something? He'll help you double clutch. He understands that it's a hostile environment. That if it wasn't for God, there would be no happiness. I mean, you saw what happened. That's why you have the flood. You have the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And no matter what you do, the best we can hold on to a good thing is 100 to 200 years. And we're past that limit in the States. And then it just starts unraveling because there's a curse on humanity. And he's saying that even though that is true, that curse still cannot keep the love of God from us. Okay? It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, persecution or famine, nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written. This isn't something Paul just came up with. Amen? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things. What things? The things in verse 35, the things that are in verse 39. Yea, in all of these things, we'll just get by. Is that what your Bible says? It says, yea, in all these things, we are conquerors. Is that what your Bible says? You know, do you believe the Bible is the Word of God? Give me an amen.
Amen.
Okay, your Bible says, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors. Well, you think about a conqueror, you think about the British Empire. I mean, they were conquerors. They said the sun never set on the British Empire. I mean, they went out, they conquered lands. We understand what a conqueror is. Goes in and takes a territory for themselves. And God said in all of these things that through God, you and I can be a conqueror. I want you to understand something. We are taught that the moment we get saved, the Spirit of a living God lives inside of you. Is that true? Okay, then why do we walk around defeated? Why have we let this world, you know what's happening, is their problems have become our problems. You sit down, whether it's somebody, a millennial who's 20, you know, I mean, 22, 23, I have children that are millennials, 25, you know, a big phrase today, you'll be talking to a husband or wife, and the wife will say, I'm just tired. I'm like, so am I. Okay? Take a sleeping pill, get bed. Oh, I'm just tired. What's the matter? What's wrong with your mind? I'm just tired. I'm thinking, you got to be kidding me. And I'm like, no, what's the matter? I'm just tired. I can't take it anymore. You know, I'm overwhelmed. Depression, anxiety are at its highest levels in society, but also in the local church. We set goals, we don't keep them. We have given names to problems in our life and just assume that that's the way it has to be. Anger, whatever. We are losing control over who we are because we've let the world take its definitions and define what victory is for us. And now we're learning to live with that. And may I tell you something? That's not what God has for you. He understands there's a curse. He understands that because of that, we don't work right. But praise God, he's given us a way to get over it, or that lied. Because it says, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors. 2 years ago, 3 years ago, a 14-year-old girl left Holland on a sailboat. Sailed around the world by herself, Pastor. Anybody 14? How old are you? 13, all right. Who's his dad? Anybody claiming him? Oh, I didn't know that. Sorry. That's bad for the love offering. Go picking on the pastor's kid. All right, Pastor, would you take him down to the harbor today, put him on a sailboat and wave to him? No. And halfway out there, probably in 2 hours, you'll be dialing on the cell phone saying, Dad, help me. Do you know what the Atlantic Ocean's like in the middle of the night by yourself? Explain to me how she is lost. 14-year-old girl gets in a sailboat by herself and for 2 years goes around the world by herself. And we've got God living inside of us and we're tired. We're overwhelmed. I can't take it anymore. You know, you don't know what it's like. We forgot who lives inside of us. Well, we forgot that that yes, it's a struggle, but we've got the power. Do you think she ever got halfway out there, she thought about that being a bad idea? Like 9 million times. Why didn't she call home? Hey, Dad, Mom, you're right. This was stupid. You know, something's trying to eat me. You know, and I'm thinking, here we got Christian kids. And do you know, I've had adults tell me, I can't fly. So you're going to go to a meth addict and tell him, God's going to help you get over your meth. But he can't help you get on an airplane. Whoa. Now, don't tell me. I don't know if you can fly or not, so don't tell me. Okay? All I'm telling you is this. Yeah, I understand. I don't like rats. Flying doesn't bother me. Rats, bad deal, man. They're going to be in hell. I don't like rats. Okay? I was home in my house. I looked up, went up the stairs. I saw a tail this long. I don't know what was on the other end of it because I got out of there. Okay? Listen, we all have things that put... But where have we gotten into society where we say we're just going to accept that I can't? When you got a God that says you can, living inside of you. And he's saying, you don't have to live with failure. You don't have to let external circumstances dictate what you can or cannot do with your life, because God's bigger than all of that. And you might be afraid, but do it afraid. There's nothing wrong with being afraid. There's something wrong with letting that control you. That is wrong. Man, get up, start swinging. Or we're going to be bound to this till we get to heaven. So you're telling me the only time God ever expected me to get to heaven, Pastor, is when I get to, I can only be happy when I get to heaven? It can be right now. Okay? If this is true, hey, in all these things, we are more than conquerors, all right? Let's go down just a little bit further. It says this, for I am persuaded. Do you think Paul believed this? Yeah, because it says I am persuaded, okay? I am persuaded that neither death nor life, angels or principalities, powers, nor things present, nor things to come, height nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. I mean, he's persuaded about that. He believes it from the top to the bottom. Doesn't say he just got through telling you the things he wants to do, he doesn't do them. The things he doesn't want to do, those are the things he finds himself doing. And he says, oh, wretched man that I am. I don't like it, Pastor, when people tell me, well, that was talking about his past. Doesn't say, oh, wretched man that I was. It says, oh, wretched man that I am, current, present. I'm not really good in English, but I know that means present. I am, not I was. Okay, what he's telling you is this, I'm broken. I'm double clutching. Every time I do good, evil's always present. Man, I read that and I thought, man, you too? I thought it was just me. Okay, no. We're all under the same curse. And Paul says, I'm persuaded that there's something bigger inside of me than that. A group came down when I was pastoring in New Orleans. They were doing vacation Bible school in our area. One of the ladies stayed with me. She was probably 18, 16, maybe 17, 18. She stayed in her home. Well, she took a shower and she got out and I went in the bathroom and everything's soaking wet. I was like, Maggie, is there a leak in here? There's water everywhere. And she said, oh, I'm sorry, that's my fault. I'm like, oh, okay. She said, ever since I was little, I cannot take a shower with a shower curtain closed. Now, I understand that there's a reason for that. And I'm not downplaying that for one second. I'm just saying, you can't let it own you. And I told her, and I said, and just if she said, even at camp, she's got to go super early in the morning because she has to leave the shower curtain open. And I told her very nicely, I said, in just a few minutes, you're going to get out there and you're going to tell those kids that Jesus can walk on water, but he can't help you shut the shower curtain. Do you know why I told her that? Because I know how I feel about me. It would be very depressing if I thought there was no hope and I just had to deal with it till you get to heaven, Pastor. That would not be. I mean, we'd all go find a bus to get in front of. I am glad that every day I can hit the reset button and I can get a hold of something bigger than me and I can push one more day and start swinging. And without that, whew. So she went out and did her thing. A couple years later, I was preaching in a teen thing, and I heard somebody afterwards, and there's lots of people in the foyer, and somebody heard this voice say, "Hey, Pastor." Well, there's lots of pastors, so like 10 people turn around. She said, "Hey, you remember me?" And I said, "No, ma'am, I'm sorry." She said, "I can take a shower with a curtain shut." And I thought, well, that's great. I don't know, what kind of wacko is this, you know? I mean, and I was so happy that that young lady decided to take the fight back. The curse hurt her, but there's something bigger than the curse. And she may have to do that 100 times, but she's doing it. Do you know there's a lady, I think 2 years ago, she holds the world's record for the longest swimming. She swam the Bering Strait. Do you know where the Bering Strait is? Here's Alaska, here's Russia. Why would you want to swim that? I mean, to swim in anything where there's a walrus in the water, you ever seen a walrus? They look like that for a reason. Because they're going to die. I mean, water's, can you imagine jumping off of a boat in the Bering Strait and swimming across to it? How far would you have to get before you thought that was the dumbest thing you've ever done in your whole entire life? When she got to the other end, there was people from Russia, news crew, talking about this ambassador of peace who joined the two countries together with a simple swim. And I'm thinking, we need more missionaries, but people aren't signing up for it because we can't get on an airplane. And this lady jumped in the Bering Sea, swam across it, lost as a goose. And I'm thinking, what is wrong with us? We ought to be the ones charging the front. You know? I mean, if lost people can achieve things that we go, wow, what should we do? Christ lives inside of you. You cannot come in contact with the Spirit of the living God and deny that there's power there. If you do, something's wrong. If you are living and you're letting your problems, your circumstance, your weakness. I mean, we can't. How many of you set a goal? Okay, I'm gonna, whether it's the treadmill or the basement or whatever, I'm gonna clean the basement out this year. I'm gonna get on the treadmill and I'm gonna walk 5 miles. Well, you do that for a week. Then you sell the treadmill in a garage sale, then you buy it again next year when you step on the scale and go, whoo-hoo. I mean, don't raise your hand. How many of you bought multiple treadmills in your life? People are laughing because they bought multiple treadmills in their life. Why? Because we've accepted defeat. Now, with that said, that's part one. The other part moves a little faster. Let's go look at what it's like to be a conqueror. How would you like that? I can't just tell you what the problem is and then say, good luck with that, go home. All right, so go to 2 Kings. Let's look at what it's like to actually be a conqueror. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by the companies and brought away captive. It's important. I want you to circle that word captive. Remember, I told you in Sunday school, just don't read over this captive. What does that mean? Do you think he went in? So he went into these countries and he led people away captive. What does that look like? Kicking down a door? Making people cry? Burning stuff in the street? Okay? Separating families? People dying? Naaman, God has his hand against the Israelites because they weren't doing right. He's allowing this to happen. He's using Naaman to do it, causing turmoil. He goes into the land and he pulls people out of that land and he takes them back captive. Okay? Now look what it says here. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. So how old do you think this young lady was? A little maid. She's old enough to work because she's waiting on Naaman's wife. How old? 7? 13? All right, let's say between 7 and 13 years old. So I want you to think today. So which one are you? How old are you? Oh, too young. Too old. How old are you? 12. You'll do. Can you imagine if I went to her home today, knocked down her door, killed her parents, burnt her stuff in the street, threw her in the back of a car, and drove away? What would be the emotional state of that young lady? We'd have her in classes from here. Yeah. You know, I'm not making fun of that. That's just the truth. Would you be shocked if she didn't want to eat? Would you be shocked if she became somebody who could not deal with society? Would you blame her if she just stayed in her room and cried all day? Ended up in a deep state of depression? That would be normal, right? From what we understand normal, okay? Can you explain to me? So this little girl is sitting at breakfast. She hears Naaman's wife and Naaman talking about the fact that Naaman's got leprosy, and she says, boy, I wish I was back home again. And Naaman's wife says, honey, I'm sorry. Don't start that again. I am sorry about what happened to your family. I'm sorry your parents are gone. I can't fix that. And she says, no, ma'am, that's not why I wish I was back home. I wish I was back home because I know somebody that can help your husband. How in the world did she do that? She had to push past all her fear. She had to push back anxiety. She had to push back all that pain. A young lady, 7 to 13, she's dealing with things that adult Christians can't deal with. And she grabs a sword, and the battle's on. And all of these demons are heading her way. And she lays everyone on the ground, and she stands up and says, I will not be ruled by my circumstances. And she does something beyond her age and her ability. And she shows us what it's like to be not just a conqueror, but more than a conqueror. And she's 7 to 13 years old. There was a power inside of her greater neither height nor depth. Circumstances, principalities could not separate that young lady from the love of Christ. She let the love of Christ overpower her circumstances, and she knocked it out the ballpark. And there she is, standing there with a sword in hand, the enemy on the ground. There's a teen program on the radio years ago, and they used to always play that song, We Are More Than Conquerors. Can you hear that playing in the background as that little girl drops that sword down? And she showed us what it's like to do that. Daniel chapter 1, he is also a captive. And it says that the people that were over Daniel, the guy that was over Daniel, they called him the Prince of Eunuchs. So Daniel had the very same background that this young lady has. She was brought away captive. More than likely, his parents are dead. He was brought to work in the new government. So everything he knew about God is changing. He's in this heathen society. He doesn't have the same rules anymore. And they said, eat this, and he says, I can't do that. I don't want to defile myself with the king's meat. And remember how he stood for God? Okay, but you know what makes it a little bit more personal? Not only did he have the same things to deal with that the maid girl did, it says that the guy watching Daniel was the prince of eunuchs. What does that make Daniel? A eunuch. Do you think that was voluntary? Mm-mm. So they took a 14-year-old kid They killed his parents, pillaged his town, threw him in a chariot with a bunch of other 14-year-old kids, and took his future away. Daniel's not going to have a wife, brother. Kids are gone. Everything he dreamed for, his future, changed forever. Can you please explain to me, the teenagers that we're used to in churches today could never take that. I mean, they're falling with a lot less pressure than that on their life. We're losing our young people. We're not retaining them when they get 18, 19, 20 years old. At an average, okay, doesn't mean it has to happen in this church, but I'm saying on an average, we're not retaining them because they've been disappointed with Christianity and we're losing them. Can you explain to me how this young man, through incredible hurt, can say, I am not going to change directions? His future's gone. He's not going to get married. Not going to have kids. He's by himself. Yet he pushed past all of that and said, would you have questioned Daniel if Daniel became rebellious? You would look at that and say, well, you know what? That's sad, but you understand because of circumstances. Look, every one of us, everybody in this room is under a pressure of the circumstances of the curse. Every one of us. It does not mean you have to be defeated. And you say, well, you can't live sin free. I understand that. But you know what? You can, thank God, get victory. And never, ever settle for, well, this is the way it's got to be. You may fight until you have no more breath in you, but you fight every day. Don't ever just accept it or name it or get used to it. You get up every morning and you say, God, the best of my ability, I'm going to fight one more day. I'm not going to let this control me. So now you got a little boy, a young man, a young girl. So now let's look at another one. Okay, let's go to Ezekiel. And I want you to go to Ezekiel chapter 24. Let's see here. Ezekiel chapter 24, let me find it. Ezekiel chapter 24, and I want you to look at verse 18. God asked Ezekiel to do some crazy things in his life. And God asked Ezekiel to do one more thing. He's getting ready to hammer Israel. And before he does, he says, Ezekiel, I need you to do something for me. I want you to be a living example of what I'm getting ready to do to Israel. And I want them to see in you how I feel. I want them to look inside of you and how you handle this situation. And I want them to see this is what I'm going to do in just a little while, because the same thing is going to happen to you. And Ezekiel's reaction to his problem is going to be my reaction to my problem. And Ezekiel, I need you to show them that. So here's what he tells Ezekiel that's going to happen. Here's what he wants him to do. Son of man, behold, I take away from thee the desire of thine eyes. Listen to that wording. He just said to Ezekiel, I'm going to kill your wife. Ezekiel, I take away from thee the desire of thine eyes. That indicates that he had a good relationship with his wife. And God says, tonight, Ezekiel, your wife's going home. It says, son of man, behold, I take away from thee the desire of thine eyes with a stroke. It says how she's going to die. Yet neither shall thou mourn nor weep. Neither shall thy tears run down. Forbear to cry. Make no mourning for the dead. Bind the tire of thine head upon thee and put on thy shoes upon thy feet and cover not the lips. Thy lips and eat not the bread of men. He's saying, I want you to do this because when I do this to Israel, I'm not going to mourn. I've given them chance after chance. I pleaded with them. I begged with them. And they're not going to listen. And now they're going to go through some judgment. And you're going to see a stone face on this side. Daniel, I want you to show tonight, I'm going to take your wife away. And you can't cry. You cannot indicate one bit that you're going to mourn. So look what it says here. It says, so I spake unto the people in the morning, my wife died. Now, pastor, again, remember, don't just read that. I want you to go and think about what it was like in that home that night. He's out preaching. He gets home. He goes into the bedroom. He knows what God said. He opens the door, and there's his wife. Dead. Do you think he just shut the door and go, okay, it happened? Do you think that? Do you think he did that, Pastor? Do you think he just looked in there and said, yep, she's dead? No way. Can you see him sitting down next to her, holding her head in his hands and just crying? God said, when you go outside, don't cry. Kissing her on the forehead, shoving. To say that that didn't hurt that man, God let you know it hurt him when he said this, the desire of thine eyes. And he said, Ezekiel, you got to shove all that inside. And it says, at night my wife died, in the morning I did what God commanded me. So he put his jacket on, grabbed his Bible, took a deep breath, wiped a tear from his eyes, put a smile on his face, and stepped out that door, and nobody could tell. Do you don't think there were some demons on the inside of him, just his heart aching? Explain to me how he did that. Superhuman. More than a conqueror. And God said, listen, this is a rough road, Daniel, but, or Ezekiel, I don't like you calling him Daniel, because we just did Daniel, but I'm bigger than this. And he showed us what it's like to be. Can you see Daniel grabbing that sword? And he knows that depression, anxiety, I mean, how many of you, since common to man, every one of us in here struggle with something that gets the better of us, correct? Now, whether or not you're willing to admit it, that's another thing, okay? Which is another the bad thing in Christianity. We walk around like we don't have any problems when the Bible says we're under a curse. How could you not have a problem? Okay? You're cursed, okay? So you've got a problem. Well, whether you're willing to admit it or not, you've got issues. They come in different packages. And everybody says, boy, I wish I had your problem. I could beat that. And the other guy says, boy, I wish I had your problem. I can beat that. You know, I can say no to chocolate for a million years. Okay, not my struggle. Okay? But that doesn't mean that that's not somebody, a legitimate struggle. It is. We'd all like to switch because we think, well, that wouldn't be a big deal. But here's what I'm saying to you. How are we going to help our young people when they don't see victory in our lives? You know, I was 12 years old, 13 maybe. I was in a Christian school. And it was football time. And we got done with practice, and I was walking across the field and going to go get a Coke with a bunch of guys. Good kid. Went to visitation, loved church. Run across the field, and there's some guys in front of me, and they kicked something up on the ground. I didn't know what it was. They picked it up. They opened it up. When I got there, they had it opened up, and it was a magazine that 12-year-old, 13-year-old should never find, brother. I wish to God that that day could have changed. Wasn't our fault. As soon as I saw it, I looked away. Dropped it and went away. But see, back then you don't ever talk about problems. Because Christians don't have any. So a lot of 13-year-old boys cried themselves at bed at night and said, what do I do about this? Because back then you definitely don't mention that. And all I got to do is say this, is that God never intended. Yes, it's part of the curse. But you do not have to let things own you. And because of Christ, you can own it. And all I'm saying, start swinging. Start swinging and don't stop. And how are we going to now fast forward it. We're not talking about magazines in the field that maybe you will or maybe you won't. Now you got it in your pocket. And we're going to expect him to deal with that without us helping him. How successful do you think that's going to be? Because nobody is willing to say, hey, come on, buddy, let me tell you something. First off, I don't want you to ever, ever, ever go there. But if you're exposed to it, you do not have to let it own you. Ladies, I mean, you're the fabric of our home. If you're in an emotional state all the time that's just chaos, your husband might love you, and he's going to be tender, but it's difficult because there needs to be some light in the home. And if everything's always so bad, you know, I don't like women say, you know, all we do is fight. We have five kids. That's an incorrect statement. But that's because that's what they focus on, is a negative. God says, don't do that. Do you don't think this man had some negativity going on in his life? His wife just died. Daniel can't have kids. The little girl is helping the man who brought her out of her home and killed her parents. That's negativity. And they tap the hold of God. He's saying, listen, I'm not condemning you. Nothing can separate you from me. These things, although they will happen, you can be more than a conqueror. And I want you to understand, let life come into your life. Not me. I don't do anything. I'm just telling you what's there. Race your arms around that. One more. I'm done. This is probably my favorite, although it's probably the most painful. Why don't you go to John chapter 19? So now we have to have a lady, right? Because we got a family here. Got the little girl, got the little boy, got a husband. Okay, go to John chapter 19. John chapter 19. And I want you to go to verse 25. So this is the crucifixion. You're at the cross. Jesus is beat so bad you can't tell who he is. I mean, he's just trying to breathe. His eyes are swollen. His stomach's a mess. He's naked. His back's wide open. The crown of thorns are pushed down into his eyebrows. The place where they tore the beard out is just raw meat. Okay? Now look at this. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother. Whoo! Do you know there's men that couldn't handle that pressure that day? They were afraid. They were scared. Big tough fishermen. I'll die for you. All of a sudden, the battle's on. The demons are running at him 100 miles an hour. And Peter got whipped in the battle. And here's a lady, a mama. You don't think she was a little overwhelmed, Pastor? Her son is being butchered right in front of her on a cross. Do you think Mary was on the ground, rolling back and forth, crying uncontrollably, an emotional mess? Why, I mean, do you think that's what you saw in that lady? Would that have helped Jesus on the cross? Remember what I told you? You're doing yourself an injustice if you just read it. Why don't you sit down there and be Mary for a second? Do you think Mary's mad at God? Uh-uh. That lady's sticking all that stuff deep inside. And she's just going to be there for her son. And now you see what it's like to be more than a conqueror. How'd she do that? Ladies, I doubt there's going to be much that's going to beat that. You ever wonder why Pastor God said that, you know, blessed are to Mary, blessed art thou among women? Do you think it was just because she's a virgin? Do you know that was more popular back then than it is today? In fact, it was more common to be one than it was not to be one in that culture. It wasn't just simply because she kept herself. That wasn't the saving grace there. That was important. It was more than that. Because God knew what he was asking this lady to do. That she was going to have to stand there and look at him on the cross and do what's not natural for a mom to do. That was not natural. for her to do that? How'd she do that? Because she tapped into a power source bigger than her. So now you understand, and I've shared a little bit of my heart. You know why? Because I love people, and I know myself. I don't like to see anybody beat down. When I know that there's help. And I wonder what would happen if each person in here today just said, God, to the best of my ability tomorrow. I may cry all day. I may have to start 1,000 times, but tomorrow, help me take my problems head on for you. Help me show my kids and my family what it's like to be not just a conqueror, but to be more than a conqueror. Whew. I'm not telling you that, well, you're saying, no, you're going to have a bad day. You just don't let that bad day own you. Okay? You're still going to have, there's no magic wand. You're still going to have them going out there. But when you do, you don't think that little girl had thoughts of depression in her mind. Sure, she did. And she got something bigger than her, and she started pushing and shoving. I'm not going to let bitterness get in. I'm not going to let hate get in. I'm going to love. Daniel said, I know that Israel's being bad and going away from God, but yeah, and I lost my future, and I lost all these things, but I'm still going to serve God. Ezekiel said, oh, my heart hurts today. But I found something bigger than my hurt. My wife's not here anymore, but God never left me. And Mary's standing there looking at her son, knowing one day he's going to live again because there's a power bigger than us. God does not want us to name our problems, get used to our problems, call them normal. That's what society wants you to do. God wants you to be more than a conqueror. Let's pray, and I'll turn it over to whoever's going to...